This reading is taken from Matthew 1, verses 18 to 25. The birth of Jesus Christ. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Sarah, thanks. Thanks very much indeed. Now, I am going to need a bit of help for this talk, in more ways than one probably. But what I do need is some children at the front. So there are some rugs down here. In fact, I could do with all the children at the front, really. So, the big question is, did anyone get any decent presents? No, that's everyone. Come on then, come on. Tom, what did you get?
I got a fossilised dinosaur.
A fossilised dinosaur? What sort of dinosaur?
Well, you sort of dig it out and, yeah, it's a fossil.
Wow. Do you know what sort it is yet?
Not sure.
Who else got a decent present? Come on, Lily.
An electronic science kit.
An electronic science kit? We've got so many clever children. How about...
A £10 voucher.
Ah, now you're talking. Now you're talking. £10 voucher. Well, that all sounds pretty exciting. We'll have some more chance, I think, to find out even what Rosie got. Because I can see you're waiting to tell me, aren't you? So, the reason we give presents at Christmas is because we're celebrating the fact that God gave us a present. He gave us the most important thing that he possibly could. He gave us his son, Jesus. Now, you might have opened all your presents, but Rebecca and Sam had so many presents that I had to help them with them. And not only that, I had to help them play with them because they were so, so, so exciting. So I didn't have time to open mine. But Helen, bless her cottons, has brought some presents for me and put them under the tree. Now, I'm supposed to wait until after the service, and I don't know what they're going to be. I've got no idea. I dropped some really, really, really big hints. And subtlety really isn't my thing anyway. Oh, I think a vote of confidence from Mrs. Kane there. Now, you see, the highlight of the year for me, the absolute highlight of the year, was the Rugby World Cup. I was totally, totally convinced the All Blacks were going to win. My big sister got me my All Black hat, and what a fantastic autumn it was. Oh, come home from work, fight the way past Rebecca and Sam, grab the remote control off them, off goes CBBC, on goes the Rugby World Cup afternoon game. And frankly, that was as good as it could get. Now, Helen got as fed up with the hints as she did with the endless rugby. But she did promise me, she promised me that I wouldn't be disappointed. She promised me that I'd get some rugby presents. What do you think? Do you think I should open one now? I can't really wait. Oh, I can't really wait to the end, can I? So, what do you reckon? A CD? CD. It could be a really big Malteser. What did you think, Alice? A rugby ball. Could be. Who's going to help me open it then? Go on, you open it for me. It looks pretty much like a rugby ball, doesn't it? Oh. bought out, hey, to go with your rugby shirt? Yeah, rugby shirt. Thanks. Fantastic. It looked like a rugby ball. You can sit down there. That's great. Thanks. Looked like a rugby ball, and it was a rugby ball. It's not a huge surprise, but that's okay, because it's just what I was promised. Did anyone get a present that they were promised? Anyone get a present they were promised? Works, Sam. Glad you put your hand up. What did you get?
This cowboy thing.
Oh, the cowboy thing. Yeah, that is fantastic. Tins, bottles, and you shoot them with this gun. Fantastic. Not from me. Nothing to do with me at all. Actually, that's true. Is there anyone here who hasn't opened all their presents yet? Oh, my goodness. And anyone here who's been promised something that they haven't opened? Oh, I couldn't stand the tension, Sam. No, I won't ask you. I can see some parents sweating away there. Well, God's present to us on that first Christmas was just what he had promised too. It's in the words that Sarah read to us in our first reading from Matthew. Can you see them there? Jesus didn't come as a big surprise. Hundreds of years before he arrived, God spoke through a prophet and said that he was going to send a baby. You can find it in your Bibles a little bit earlier than Matthew, in the book of Isaiah. And Matthew's repeated it in his gospel to remind his readers. And when he comes, this baby will get rid of all the sad things and all the bad things. There'll be no more wars, no more sickness, no more death, no more having to say goodbye to people we love, no more school, I wouldn't have thought, no more bullying, probably no more Brussels sprouts. Not just me then. He's going to come and put right all those things, and he's going to make the world new again. And God's people waited after this promise, and they waited after this promise. It was just like we waited last night, wasn't it? It felt as if it was ages last night, wasn't it? We waited and we waited and we waited for morning to come. And then one night, in a stable in Bethlehem, he came. He was just what had been promised by God. That means that this morning, we're not celebrating some random event in an obscure village in Palestine. We're celebrating the fact that God keeps his promises. He said that he would send someone, and he did. Now, the first century Jews were waiting for someone to rescue them from the trouble that they had been in. They'd been ruled by their enemies, first the Egyptians and then the Romans. And we couldn't really claim today to be suffering in quite the same way as them. But we're all still waiting, aren't we? We're waiting for something or for someone. And our 21st century culture is full of promises. If you eat this, wear that, dye your hair, join a gym, do what Trini and Susanna tell you to do, then all's going to be well. All will turn out the way we want it to. We'll find new friends, we'll be successful, we'll find that job, just the one that we're after. And we know that that's true because we read it in all our papers, in our Sunday supplements. But how often have you read interviews in the same Sunday paper with people who have achieved everything that they wanted to? They've got the careers they want, the homes they dreamed of, the noses that they liked in the magazine. But they're still struggling to make sense of it all. They're still waiting. They're still longing for something or someone that'll come along and make sense of their lives. Well, Matthew's saying it's here. The one God promised, the one you've been waiting for and I've been waiting for, he's come for you. And it's the theme of our next carol too. If you look at the first verse, the words there, "See amid the winter's snow, born for us on earth below. See the gentle lamb appears, promised for eternal years." Please do stand. Sit down. Well, what do you think? Helen did promise me something to do with rugby, and this is a great ball, isn't it? But you'd have to say it is pretty miserable outside, isn't it? I'm not really going to be able to play with it today. I'd never say I was disappointed with the present, and I hope you wouldn't say you were disappointed either. But some of those first century Jews were disappointed. They'd waited for years and years for God to come and make things better. And what does he do? He gives them a baby. I mean, there's nothing wrong with babies, don't get me wrong, but is that all God could come up with? A baby? Doesn't God watch the news? Doesn't he know what's happening in my life? How is a baby going to sort out all the sad things and all the bad things in this world? How's a baby going to get rid of Brussels sprouts? Well, on the basis that I can't really play with my rugby ball, do you think Helen would mind if I opened another present? What do you reckon? Shall I give it a go? Yeah, I'll give it a go. So, who's going to help me with this one? Come on, then, Becca. Come on. See what's in there. Oh! Oh, yes! Yes! Can you read that? That's amazing. That is a ticket, genuine ticket, for the RBS Six Nations Rugby to see England play. I could see Johnny Wilkinson next year, if he's not injured. That is better than I could have ever expected. That is fantastic. Did anyone get a present that was better than they could have ever imagined? Oh, thank goodness. So, come on, Annabelle. What did you get that was better than you could have imagined?
A wind-up torch.
A wind-up torch. Good work, the brands. What did you get?
A Doctor Who card album.
Doctor Who card album. Goodness me. Oh, hold on. Come on, then, Alice. What did you get?
A remote control car.
Remote control car. Well done, the Rivers. What sort of remote control car?
Pardon?
What sort of remote control car? Oh, a Land Rover. You think it's a Land Rover. Recognition skills lacking a little bit there, don't But lucky old Alice then, lucky old me, lucky old all of us who got something better than we could imagine. And Jesus is better than we could have imagined as well. If we look back at that reading again, Gordon, and we look at verse 23, you see, it turns out that this was no ordinary baby. He was called Emmanuel, which means God with us. So that baby lying in the straw was God. Well, yeah. Well, that changes things, doesn't it? Because, of course, no ordinary baby could ever put right the mess in our life. No ordinary baby could put right the whole world. And we pick up the newspaper, don't we? We turn on the news, we talk to a friend, and we're up to our eyebrows in it. All sorts of bad things that we can't sort out. Now, I'm in the Navy, and on my last ship, whenever we went across a really, really big ocean like the Atlantic, we'd get to the middle, right in the middle of the ocean, and my friend Weasel would have this terrible look on his face, and he'd say, "Do you know, we're 5 days from anywhere." Doom, gloom. He'd say, if we sank now, how difficult would it be for us to help ourselves? We'd be doomed. You see, it wouldn't matter in the middle of the Atlantic how much we tried to help each other. We couldn't possibly get back to land. We'd need some outside help. In fact, we'd probably need someone in an aeroplane. In fact, the harsh truth is, we probably need someone in the RAF. And that's not a comfortable place to be. So the Bible says that the whole of humankind is lost at sea. It's drifting around. We can't help ourselves. It says there's no philosopher, no poet, no religious teacher who can get us out of the mess we're in. We're all in the middle of the same vast ocean. You see, when we're celebrating the birth of Jesus, we're not just celebrating another religious leader come to throw in his pennyworth of ideas about how we might swim in this direction, row in that direction. We're celebrating the fact that someone has come from outside to come and get us out. Someone has come to rescue us. There came a moment in history when the God who made the world stepped into the world. What better rescuer could there be? Who's got a computer at home? I could tell with those intelligent presents that you all got. So what happens when your computer doesn't work? Yeah. Well, you switch it on, don't you? You switch it on, switch it back off again, switch it back on again. If it still doesn't work, you go and see your dad, don't you? And then you realise that your dad's got less idea than you have. And then as Claire says, if you still can't do it, you're going to see Gordon or Mike Sims, because they're pretty good. And if you're really, really struggling, you send it back to the people who made it, don't you? You send it back to the makers, because they made it, so they can fix it. And when we look at our broken world, the only person who can fix it is the one who made it. And here he is. This baby is the God who made the world, and he's come to fix it. And that's worth celebrating, isn't it? Think of the miracles that he did. Sick people cured, blind people that could see, lame people that got up and walked, people who hated each other and became friends, people who were greedy and became really, really kind. And Jesus says to his followers, do you see what it is that I'm doing? I'm fixing this broken world. Do you see who I am? I'm the one that the prophets promised. I am God come into this world to put things back the way they were meant to be. He's not finished yet, that's very clear. But we celebrate Christmas because it's the start of what he's going to do. He's let us in on the plan. And one day he'll come back and finish what he started. So, God's present to us is just what we were promised, the rugby ball, and he's better than we could have ever imagined. God himself has come for us. Now, we've got one present left under the tree. I don't know about you at the back, but at the front, the excitement's killing us, quite frankly. But we've got a third carol to sing first. Angels, sing again the song you sang. Bring God's glory to the heart of man. Sing that Bethlehem's little baby can be the saviour of us all. Please do stand. So, here it is then, my last present of the day. What's everyone putting their hand up for? Oh, Rosie. Are you going to come and help me? Wowee. Good girl. What do we think it is then? What do you think? Well, Rosie, you thought that. Well, here I am on the train up to Twickenham with my rugby ball in. I've got just what I was promised, my rugby ball. I've got just, well, better than I could have ever expected. And it's just what I need. Oh. Thanks, Rosie.
Thank you.
Off with that rubbish. What do we think? Is it going to fit? Oh, you've done your research well, Mummy. So if I'm going to watch England put pay to all those minor principalities, this is just what I need, a proper England rugby shirt. Fantastic. Did anyone else get just what they were needed? Just what they needed? Back to the old faithful Tom Kane. Just what we needed. What did you get, Tom?
I got some new swimming goggles.
New swimming goggles. Very sensible, Mum. Very sensible. Lily, what did you get?
A logic book.
A logic book? That. I wish. I think that's just what I need, actually, but. Well, just as a logic book was what Lily needed, Jesus is just the present that we need. And we're back to the reading. Verse 21 of the reading, going backwards a little bit now. Mary was told to give the child the name Jesus. Jesus means saviour or rescuer. I don't know what you feel you need rescuing from. Mike asked us that story on Sunday, asked us that question on Sunday, didn't he? You might feel you need rescuing from a mountain of cooking. Don't want to panic you, but it might be burning now. I can see Mum's looking at her watch there. Perhaps you think you need rescuing from going back to all that work after the break. Maybe it's Brussels sprouts at lunch today that you need rescuing from. But this rescuer has come to rescue us from something much, much bigger than all of those things. You see, back in verse 21 there, he's going to save people from their sins. Now, in our day, the idea of sin is a bit of a joke sometimes, isn't it? But sin's no joke. It's the cause of all those things that we read about in the paper and that we watch on TV. It's why families fall out. It's why we fight about who gets what quality street. It's the game that we're all playing. We're all playing at being God. And that's what sin is. It's when we push God out of the picture. We don't want him being God over us. We're not interested in going his good way. We just want to go our way, the way that we choose. And so sin leads to fighting. It leads to fighting over land in the West Bank. It leads to fighting over what we watch on TV. And the Bible says that we're all at war with one another because we're at war with God. And that's what Jesus has come to rescue us from ourselves. Now, my favourite rescue, and this involves a bit of technology, so this is where it could go really horribly wrong. My favourite rescue is in Toy Story. And for those of you who aren't familiar with the sophisticated genre of this particular type of classic movie, Woody is a wooden toy. He comes to life and leads all the other toys in Andy's bedroom. Wheezy is the squeaky penguin who's lost his squeak. And so Mum is trying to put him in the garden sale. But luckily...
Yard sale.
Work.
Yard sale! Yard sale! Guys, wake up, wake up! There's a yard sale outside!
Yard sale?
Sarge, emergency roll call!
Sir, yes, sir!
Red alert! All civilians fall in position now! Single file! Let's move, move, move!
And here, potato head, Mr. and Mrs.
Here!
Trickus, check, 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 check.
I hate yard sale! Ah! Someone's coming!
Okay, let's see what's up here.
I know. Oh, how could I do it? We're all set in there. If anyone... I won't say the end because it might spoil it if you haven't seen it. But if you want to borrow it, Rebecca and Sam may just lend it to you. Because I think they've watched it about 300 or 400 times now. Well, thanks, Gordon. People didn't really understand what it was that Jesus had come to rescue them from either. Or rather, they didn't really understand what he was rescuing them from. You see, the first century Jews were expecting some great warrior to drive away the Romans and put an end to all their problems. But he hadn't come to rescue them from that. He'd come to rescue us from our sin by dying on a cross for us. On the cross, the Son of God died, the innocent in place of the guilty. That's how he rescued us and set us free to be part of God's new world. And that's why Jesus is just what we need. There's nothing that we need more. This Christmas I could get dolls. Maybe not. I could get more Lego. I could get Star Wars stuff. I could get as many toys as I could possibly cope with. And I can think of a few children who are in that position. I could get job security. I could get a happy family. I could get a hat full of friends and a really, really big house. But if I haven't been saved from my sins, then my life is still going to be a battlefield. I'm always going to be at war with somebody or something. And many people have opened up hundreds of presents at Christmas time, but they've never really opened up God's present to them. They've just left it under the tree. Is that you this Christmas? If so, wouldn't it be a good Christmas to open up the best present of all? Because God's present to us, remember, was just what we were promised. God kept his promise. It was better than we could have ever imagined. God himself has come down to earth for us. And it was just what we needed. He was a saviour from our sin. Now, I'm going to need your help again. Because the good news is, that's the end of the talky bit. But the bad news is, we've got to do some prayer. Well, it's not bad news, is it? And I'm going to need some help. You see, we always try and pray in response to what we've just heard. But today, because it's Christmas Day, we thought we'd do things a little bit differently. So we're going to pray for three things. We're going to say sorry to God for something that we've done. And we're going to thank him for something that he's done for us. And we're going to ask him for something. Have you got that? So three things. Sorry, thank you, and ask him. Right. Has anyone got any ideas of what they'd like to say sorry to God for? Anyone got any ideas? Presents were easier, weren't they? Rosie's thinking about it. Oh, Alice. What would you like to say sorry for?
Sorry for when we've sinned and been against him.
That's a very good sorry. Right, let me take my rugby ticket out of the way. Sorry for when we haven't done what Jesus wants us to, yeah? And you used a big word for that, sinning, didn't you? Okay. That's a very good one. Right, what about a thank you? Has anyone got any ideas on a thank you? Anything at all. Doesn't need to be complicated. Doesn't need to be clever. Doesn't need to involve fossils. But it could do. How about a thank you?
For rescuing us.
Thank you for rescuing us. That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Right, let me write that up. Thank you for rescuing us. And who can remember what he rescued us from? Go on, Esther. Oh, good girl. Good girl. Got it. Right, and how about a please? Anyone got any pleases? Don't say a please for a present, just in case you haven't got it. Come on, Alfie. Alfie, you've been uncharacteristically quiet. What about a please? Oh, you got one. Have you got one? No. Anyone got a please? Oh, James. I knew James Brand would have a please. Stand by, Nick.
Thank you very much for the whole wide world. Please, may we be nice and no fighting.
Please, may we be nice and no fighting. Excellent. Please, may we be nice. Excellent. Right, shall we pray? Let's just pray those simple prayers. Dear God, sorry that we live our lives our own way without thinking about you. And sorry for all the bad things and sins that we do. Lord, thank you for rescuing us. Thank you that you took what was most precious to you, your own dear son, and gave him to us to rescue us from our sin. And Lord, on this Christmas, please show us how to receive the gift that you give. And please help us to be nice to our friends and family. Amen. Right. What happens now, Simon?
Now, before we sing our last carol, I do, as ever, have a couple of notices. The first is a notice about tomorrow. Claire Kane and Helen Powell would like to invite you for a run starting tomorrow morning at 9:15 from Northview Roundabout. So marathon runners supposedly need not come, but if you'd like a fun run, please do turn up then. And if you need any motivation, I've been told that the average person on Christmas Day consumes around 6,000 calories. The other notice, of course, you're always welcome to join us any Sunday. We meet at 3:45 for four, so please do come along to Emmanuel every week. So let us stand to sing our last carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.